There are people in my life that I cared about that struggled with substance abuse, and I wanted to better connect with them and understand their struggle. I run a music program at VVSD, Veterans Village San Diego, and it's a substance abuse rehab facility for veterans. I grew up writing music and writing songs since I was 11 years old. So I've played in pretty much every venue here in San Diego. When I was about 18, I started really struggling with depression and anxiety. The whole music thing, playing shows and writing songs, kind of stopped. While I was going through that depression, I went out to go volunteer. And my first volunteer job was to teach this lady how to speak English. And so that kind of catapulted me to learning how to run programs. I found that I was really good at creating something beautiful out of nothing. And so that's why I started this program. I have a classical music background, so I'm able to teach them what I know at a very basic level. At the end of the 12 weeks, they know how to read, and they know how to write, and they know how to play. I'm really grateful for all the support that I've received. I just feel like I'm more understanding of people and their struggle, because life is hard sometimes. It means the world to me, just the support from my family, my friends, and from the men and women here at VVSD. I've changed a lot because of this program. I feel very humbled to be here and to create it for these guys.
Yeah, isn't that a beautiful story? That's what it looks like to love and serve and bless our city. It's simply taking a little bit of who we are and what we have, our skills, our abilities, our gifts, a little bit of our time, a little bit of our resources, and using that to bless the people around us, to serve them. And in fact, that's what we're going to be talking about today. How do we serve in this third installment of I Heart Chula Vista? I want to welcome all of our churches joining us for the message, as well as anybody on Facebook and online that is jumping in. Thank you for being a part of this. Grab that outline out of your program or click over there on notes. And I want to jump right into our series, Big Idea, in case you're joining us for the first week, to remind you what this series is all about. Here's what we've been saying. If we are going to love and serve our city well, we need to remember this. Go ahead and write it down. That we are sent people to bless people where we live, work, and play. That if you are a Jesus person, you are a sent person to bless people where you live, work, and play. You see, if you are a Jesus follower, you are invited into the same kingdom of God mission that Jesus had. We are not saved to sit. The goal is not to go to church. We are saved and sent. The goal is to be the church, representing Jesus well from the way that we love and the way that we live in our world. And so Jesus people are sent people. Sent to do what? Sent to bless other people where we live, work, and play. A foundational verse for this idea of God's people being the vehicle by which God wants to bless other people and bless the world, it goes all the way back to the very beginning of this story in Scripture. The very first book is called Genesis. It means the beginning, the start of the story. And in Genesis chapter 12, God is speaking to a guy named Abram, and he gives him this incredible promise, and it's kind of this foundational idea for this blessed strategy that we are taking on. Genesis 12, 2 through 3, I want us to read this out loud. Can we do that together? Everybody out on the patio, parent viewing rooms, all of our churches, everybody in here. Genesis 12, 2 through 3, ready, begin. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So God makes this promise to Abram that he would not only bring incredible blessing to his life, financially, relationally, spiritually, that he would have this special favor with God. And so he's going to have this special favor with God, but God makes it abundantly clear that the purpose of his favor and his blessing in his life wasn't just to stay with him, but that even all the people would be blessed ultimately through him. Well, how did that happen? Because without Abram, there wouldn't be a nation of Israel. And so God blessed Abram, and out of him, his descendants, this became true, and the nation of Israel happened. And without the nation of Israel, we wouldn't have Jesus. And Jesus comes from the house of David, was the prophecy that would happen. And so everyone's been blessed with Jesus. And then Jesus basically took this idea that you know, God's people are supposed to bless the world by saying, I'm going to establish the church, and the church is going to be the way that people see who I am and how I want to love. And so it's been passed all the way to us. And so what we are saying and what we've been learning throughout this series is that we're teaching this acronym for BLESS, which simply stands for 5 Simple Rhythms to Share Jesus. And let me just tell you, this BLESS strategy, it's not about some weird pre-packaged program to convert people. That's not what this is. That's not the, okay, this is how we are going to make people believe in Jesus, because that's not our job. That's not what we do. But what is our job is to live in love like Jesus did. And so that's what this blessed strategy, if you will, is actually all about. How do we live in love like Jesus where we live, our neighbors, where we work on the job, and where we play? Those third spaces in our lives, our favorite coffee shop, the soccer field when the kids are at practice, whatever that is for us, how do we do that? And so here's this simple process we've been teaching through, and I just want to remind you of it real quick. Go ahead and write this down. How do we start? We begin in prayer. We want to pray for people where we live, work, and play. In week number 1, we gave you a challenge. Start praying for at least one person in all those spaces, and we gave you this little prayer bookmark. Everybody remember this? If you didn't get one, you can get one out on the table when we dismiss in just a little bit. One side says do this, and it gives you the acronym. The other side says pray this. And it's a real simple strategy on how to pray for people in your life. And here's what I want to tell you. If you've been praying for people, keep it up. If you had really good intentions, and now that I brought this up again, you're like, crap, it's been 2 weeks. I haven't done it yet. Start today. And just say, you know what, I'm going to start praying for just a couple people in those 3 spaces in my life. That was our week number 1 challenge. And then last week, we combined the L and the E. Here's what the L is. Listen, that we want to be people that we start from a place of praying for people that we love and care about. And then next, we want to listen to them. Why? Because everyone you know wants someone in their life who cares enough to listen. To listen to their hopes, their dreams, their struggles, their challenges, their stories. And so we want to be people who care enough to listen. And an easy way to begin listening is to write this down. Here's the E, eat. Sharing a meal is sharing life. When you share a meal with someone, you get to know someone's story and you enjoy their friendship. And when you look at the life of Jesus, he was great at this. He was great at sharing a meal to connect in people's lives. And so here was our challenge last week. In week number 2, we said, what if we simply once a week, in the crazy busyness of our life, what if we said, you know what, if we're that busy that we can't even share a meal with other people in our life, maybe we're too busy. And so our challenge was, share a meal a week. And if you started doing that, keep it, way to go, keep it up. And if you haven't started yet, start this week. Start this week. I mean, this is easy, simple stuff. And then here's what we're going to talk about this week. The first S is serve. Write that in there. How do we serve people like Jesus? And then the second S is story. Because I believe when we begin with prayer, we listen, we eat, then we serve, there will be these natural opportunities to share the Jesus story and share our Jesus story with the people that matter, that we love, that we care about in our life. And so today, we're going to lean into this serve idea. Let me give you today's big idea in a couple sentences right here. Write this down. Jesus' plan is to transform us through blessing us. That's good news. But the blessing will only transform us when we allow it to go through us. Just think about that. Think about the first sentence for a moment. Jesus' plan is to transform us through blessing us. Jesus' plan is not to transform us through guilting us. Isn't that good news? Jesus' plan is not to change us into the best version of ourselves through fear and intimidation. That's not his plan. Jesus' plan is to bless us. That means bring good into our life. How? How does he plan to do that? By blessing us. Has it ever occurred to you that God is for you? That he loves you? That his plans for you are so very good? But those good plans will only bring transformation in our life when we begin to let that blessing go through us. Think of it like this little math equation I put on your outline. Write these down. Blessing plus serve equals transformation. But blessing minus serve equals stagnation. You see, when we don't share the good that God has given us, blessing good things in our life can actually begin to grow toxic. When we don't share ourselves, our time, our skills, our experience, our stories, our resources, a little bit of our money with other, when we don't share all the good that God has given us with other people, eventually it begins to pile up in our life and it actually stifles the growth and the good that God wants to do in us. One of the beautiful things about Joelle's story at the beginning of this message, did you notice what happened in her when she started giving back out of her? There was this incredible good that kind of depression and darkness really began to lift off her life. And how did that happen? Because she began to share and serve some of the blessing that she just had in her life. Her ability to understand music and that gift that she had, she began to share that. And not only did it change people out there, but it changed her in here. And this is the way the kingdom of God works. But when we keep everything to ourselves, we actually begin to, it's really interesting, that when we hold everything to ourselves, we actually become more entitled people. You would think the opposite would happen, right? Like the more that you have, the more you give. That's actually not very true in our world. What's true in our world is the more you have, the more you want, and the more you keep for yourself. That's how most people live. And we become more entitled people. Well, this is owed to me. I deserve this. I worked for that. I created this company. That's mine. And that attitude is really no different than an attitude you see in little children. Parents, you remember this. You remember going to SeaWorld or Disneyland with your kid, and you're there and you decide to buy him a treat, maybe like a Mickey Mouse ice cream bar or some cotton candy, and you buy it for him. And then at some point, you know, halfway through eating the cotton candy, the ice cream bar, you look at them like, hey, give me a bite of that. And then they look at you like, you're crazy, right? Like you just said the craziest thing they've ever heard. Like, what? And then what inevitably, what do they say back to you? If they're really little, they go, mine, right? Or if they're a little older, they're like, no, get your own. And when my kids would say that to me, I don't know how you are, but I'd be like, yours? Like, I mean, I came, you know, my dad was a little old school, and so one of his favorite lines was, boy, I brought you into this world, I will take you out. And so, you know, like, I felt like since he said that to me, I should share that wisdom with my children as well. And so I'm like, yours? Do you realize everything you own comes from me? You don't own anything. You don't own nothing. Your mom and I made you on Christmas Eve. We don't go into that much detail, okay? But it's like everything you have, actually, and you're going to say mine? Like you're, so you know what I do when my kids would do that with that ice cream bar? I actually take the whole ice cream bar. I'm like, I'm gonna teach you a lesson. And I would just eat it slowly right in front of them. I'm gonna have to bring that up in counseling someday. I realize that. No, I don't do that to my kids. Why? Because occasionally I'm a halfway decent father, okay? You know what Jesus said about God? That he is always a good father. And he would have all the right in the world to look at any of us and say, yours? You think that's yours? You think you made that happen? Wow. But you know what? He doesn't reach down and snatch it all away from us. Why? Because he's a good father. But just like you as a good parent want your child to learn how to share, that's a value that you don't even have to, you know, every parent wants their kid to, nobody says, man, I hope my kids are stingy. Nobody says that. Yet we grow up into those people, don't we? Yes, we do. And we need to learn how to serve. We need to learn how to give back. And so Jesus showed us what serving looks like. Look at this verse, Mark 10, 42 through 45. Here's what Jesus taught. In other words, he said, if you're going to follow me, you're going to be different. And this is one of the ways you're going to be different. You know that among the nations of the world, the great ones lord it over the little people and act like tyrants. Still happens today. But that is not the way it will be among you. Whoever would be great among you must serve and minister. Whoever wants to be great among you must be a slave of all, even the Son of Man. That is just a title for Jesus. So even Jesus came not to be served, but to be a what? Servant, to offer his life as a ransom for many. Everyone look right here. We are never more like Jesus than when we serve. When we serve, we are most like our Savior. And that's why we are doing this Serve Project in 2 weeks. And I hope you'll join us. Because we want to be a church people that not just gather in here and try to stay away from the battled world out there, but we want to be like Jesus. Salt and light is what Jesus called his followers. And we want to bless our community. So I hope in 2 weeks you will serve with us. Would you just give an hour? Maybe 2 hours? In fact, the reason we're not meeting in here in 2 weeks is because we wanted to make it really easy. We're not even asking for you to give more time. Just saying, replace the time where we all come sit in here and let's go serve out there because we want to be like our Savior. Well, I've asked Pastor Luke to come up and share the rest of the message with us, and here's why. Because Pastor Luke and his wife Leslie really do a great job of living out this bless strategy with people where they live, where they work, and where they play. So as he comes, go ahead and write this first thing down. How do we serve? Serve people in proximity.
In proximity. And that really just means the people God already has you with. Who are you already around? I first heard this blessed strategy a couple years back. I started talking about it with my wife, Leslie. And then we decided we're going to try to bless our neighborhood. We're going to work this plan. We're going to see what happens. So we began to pray, begin with prayer. We began to pray for all of our neighbors. We prayed for that neighbor and that neighbor and that neighbor and that neighbor. And then we realized if we're going to pray for our neighbors, we should probably learn their names. Here was what we decided to do. We had a young three-year-old daughter at that time, and we said, 3 times a week, we're going to walk around our block with our daughter, and we're going to look for all of our neighbors, and we're not just going to say hello. We're going to try to think of reasons that we could stop and then start a conversation with them. Sometimes that was awkward, but that's what we did. And as we were in conversations with people, we began to learn their names, and we'd get home, and we would realize we weren't very good at remembering names, and that was only after meeting 2 neighbors. So here's where we went from there, and this is kind of where the story gets a little bit creepy. So check this out. We drew out a map of our block and made houses on it, and as we'd walk around the neighborhood and get our neighbors' names, we would come back home, and we would write their names in to the little house we drew on our map that was hanging up on our refrigerator. So every time we had guests over, we would have to rip this map off the refrigerator and shove it in a drawer because we didn't want them to think we were axe murderers or anything like that. But what happened was we started collecting these names of people, of our neighbors, of even their children and even their pets. And then we started to collect their needs. Oh, that guy has a broken down car. Oh, that guy, his mom is in the hospital. And we would write these little notes. So when we would walk around the neighborhood, we could ask, hey, how's your mom doing? George, you didn't think I'd remember your name, did you? And they were blown away. And we would even know their pets' names. It was the craziest thing. And what that did is it built a bridge to make relationships with people. We began with prayer, and we knew our neighbors' actual names. Every night, we would look at that map. We would pray for our neighbors. We would pray for them by name, and we would pray for them by need. We started thinking after that, well, how could we eat with them? How could we serve them? And that's what today's all about, serving people. We thought, oh, well, let's throw parties. We'll have lots of food, and we'll throw parties for our neighborhood. And all the new people we were meeting at my daughter's preschool, we would invite them over. The favorite party we throw is our Halloween party, this huge Halloween party that we've thrown every year. And I've had some people come up to me, and maybe they're a little uptight, and they say, hey, Luke, Pastor Luke, you celebrate Halloween? And my answer is, well, I mean, we don't actually get together and worship Satan on that night or anything. But yeah, we like to have a good time on Halloween. And here's what we do. We leverage the culture, what's already happening around us with all the normal people in our neighborhood anyway, and we build relationships through it to see if we could help some of those people find their way back to God. That's what we do on Halloween. I mean, think about it. How many other days out of the year can you walk around your neighborhood, knock on the door, have your neighbor answer with a smile on their face, willing to talk to you? No other day of the year can you do this. Halloween. So here's what I'm asking you to do. Take your kids trick-or-treating in Jesus' name. I really mean it. In Jesus' name, go. Meet your neighbors. Knock on their door. Introduce yourself. Give them your name. And score a bunch of candy in the process. Yes, that's true. But go meet your neighbors. It's the one day out of the whole year you're actually able to do this. And your kids will love you for it. All right. Serve people within your proximity and serve people perceptively. Have you ever thought about getting a new car? What happens when you do that? You start seeing that vehicle everywhere, right? Here's what changes, your awareness. And we need our awareness to change as we look at the people we're trying to serve. We need to be aware. A few years ago, we moved into a new townhome. It was brand new here in Eastlake. We went to visit. It was being framed out. It wasn't finished, but we noticed the one across the street was. So we walked over to check it out. It was the exact same model as ours. We noticed the door was unlocked. No one had lived there yet. It was brand new and freshly finished. So we let ourselves in and we took a tour of what would be our new home in about a month. And I didn't know it at the time when Leslie and I were standing in the kitchen, but that was the day that neighbor was moving in. So we hear the garage door open, standing there, and they come upstairs and find us there. And we introduce ourselves and awkwardly explain, we're your neighbors, we're moving in a month or two. They didn't believe us. I think they thought we were doing bad things in there. My shirt may have been on inside out. I don't know. But anyway, they kicked us out. A month later, we move in. And the funny thing was, from our living room, we could see right into the garage of that home. And here's what we noticed. The woman who owned the home would pull in. We see her pull in every day after work. And she would walk around her car, and she would slap the garage door button on her wall. The door would come down, and she would enter her home. And we saw this every day. And then we noticed one day, she was limping around her car. And then a few months after that, we noticed she was walking with a cane around her car. And then a few months later, she had a walker. And a few months after that, she would hang on to the roof rack of her vehicle and almost drag herself around. And then one day, we saw her get out of her car and crawl around her car and reach up with her cane to hit the button to shut the garage door. What we didn't know is she was fighting through MS, and it had taken away the use of her legs. Well, Leslie and I, although we got off to a bad start with this neighbor, we decided to approach her and ask how we could serve. We found out very quickly that she was a very kind woman, and she allowed us to serve her. Sometimes we would show up, and she would say, I want to crawl up these stairs by myself. She lived upstairs, and she would say, I want to crawl up these stairs. Don't help me. And other days, she would ask to be carried up the stairs. And I know what you're thinking. Luke, for a guy like you, that was probably really easy. That wasn't even a joke. I asked my wife to do it. It worked out. And we learned how to serve her. We would even show up randomly and clean her house. Sometimes we would show up and clean her car. Arlene, I actually spoke with her yesterday. She's now in a care facility, a permanent care facility, being taken very well care of. She's doing great. But if we wouldn't have been perceptive and how we serve, we wouldn't have known what was really going on with Arlene, and we would have never been able to serve her. First, seek to understand. Don't think you know the whole story of the people that you're called to serve. This is why we first pray, we listen to God, and then we listen to the people. Then we can serve them how they need to be served. Next, serve people personally. We got to enter into their experience. Don't just perceive their pain. Feel their pain. Empathize. It's said, empathy is what separates human beings from teenage boys. Jesus had empathy. In fact, he had more than empathy. He had compassion. Here's what happens. We see this recorded by Mark when Jesus showed up on the scene. There was a huge crowd of people. Mark 6:34 says, when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them. You know what he did? He fed everybody. Thousands of people. He fed them because he had compassion. You see, compassion never comes without action. What step of action do you need to take? To serve the people who surround you. Maybe something comes to mind. Write it down so you don't forget. A little after we were able to serve Arlene, another neighbor moved into the neighborhood. Her name was Kelly. We didn't speak much at first. My wife actually noticed that Kelly looked a bit down for a week or so. So she approached her and started talking and realized that she had gone through a terrible breakup. Well, I got in touch with Kelly recently and said, hey, Kelly, how was us being in the neighborhood? How did that affect your spiritual journey? And she wrote me a letter. I want to share that letter with you. Here's what she said. I had just went through a terrible breakup when Leslie reached out to me. She invited me to church. It was Christmas Eve. I clearly needed a lift me up. But what I didn't realize was that I was in need of so much more. I showed up to church for the first time with Leslie, and of course, she decides to sit in the front row. All was going fine, and then it was if the message was written just for me. My first time in church, sitting in the front row, now crying like a baby. My makeup was a mess. I could feel years of stress, fear, and guilt washing away. The more I came back to church, the more I was able to shed those layers and began to feel lighter, happier, and more complete. If it had not been for both of you, I'm not sure I'd be a part of any church. By you being open, neighborly, not pushy or in your face, it made me feel like I was going to a place I could belong to rather than some kind of religious obligation. Which is why even though I've moved over 1,000 miles away, I'm still connected to Eastlake Church through the online community and growing into the person God is helping me to become. Isn't that great? And you know how that started? She's probably watching online right now. You know how that started? Us looking. Us being in tune with what was going on and deciding to get involved. And then simply extending an invitation. And it changed her life forever. It connected Kelly back to God. The next way we need to serve is powerfully. You see, ask God to do what only God could do. Serve powerfully. If there's people around you who are sick, take a risk and pray for them. Ask God to heal them. If there's people who are addicted, ask God to break those addictions. If people are going through a difficult relationship, ask God for reconciliation. If you're here and you're a follower of Jesus, don't be intimidated by this. You see, this is what makes you stand out from the rest of the world. You have the power of the Holy Spirit inside of you. Serve people powerfully. Jesus himself, he said we would be able to do this. In fact, look at his words here recorded in the book of John. They speak to this. The person who trusts in me will not only do what I'm doing, but even greater things, because I, on my way to the Father, and giving you the same work that I've been doing. Don't be afraid to ask for a miracle. Remember, you are the plan that God put in place to rescue this world, to help people find their way back to God. We are people helping people find and follow Jesus. That's why we're here. That's what we do. James said earlier, serving others is really one of the only tangible ways we could serve God. I think it works something like this. Have you ever had someone serve or do something really kind for one of your children? A few days ago, someone here, they spoke to my 8-year-old daughter, and they were talking to her, and they said, you are so kind. You are so beautiful. You're so smart. You're so brave. And I was watching this take place, and I was going, oh my gosh, I'm about to cry. Thank you for being so kind to my daughter. Thank you for serving my daughter. And it made me feel so good. I think that's how God feels about us when we serve one of his children. A few years ago, there was a young woman here. She was about 14 years of age. She got involved with the wrong crowd. And then she disappeared. She was gone. No one knew where she was, and days and weeks went by, and her dad became incredibly fearful and was searching. He rounded up a bunch of men here from the church, and they would go out every night knocking on doors and looking for her. And no one knew where she was, so we began to pray, God, help us to find this young lady. It was found out that she was a couple thousand miles away in a different country. We didn't know how to help her return home, so we began to pray some more. God, would you please bring this young lady home? Well, what happened was a woman showed up on the scene, a petite, gentle woman, but she was powerful. Her name was Marissa, and she was here at this church, and she was familiar with these kind of situations, and she was able to organize the return of this young woman. And I remember the day she came back and what a celebration that was and how happy, how unbelievably happy her father was to have her back in his arms. And you see, I look at that and I think that's what we're here to do. I look at all of us and I think, we're supposed to be a bunch of Marissas. We're supposed to help reconcile people back to God the Father. We're supposed to help people find their way back to God. That's what we do. That's why we're here. That's what this blessing of our neighborhoods is all about. And maybe you're here and you'd say, I want to find my way back to God. I want to come home. If that's you, I want to give you an opportunity to acknowledge that decision. Would you grab the connection card with me out of your program? On that card, on the left-hand side, it says, today I'm beginning my new life with Jesus. Or maybe you've already done that, but you've wandered off. You would say, I'm restarting my life with Jesus. If you mark one of those boxes, we'll send you some information via email that we believe will help you on your faith journey. And for all of us, what will you do this week to take action? There's no compassion without action. What will you do? Maybe you'll serve, take Pastor James' challenge from just a few moments ago. Who will you serve where you live, where you work, and where you play? Excuse me. Where you play. Write something in and we'll be praying for you this week. Let's pray. God, for those of us here who are saying, I want to come back to you. I want to be reconciled back to you, God. Maybe you would say a prayer right now and say something like this. God, through your son Jesus, reconcile me. Forgive me of my sin. Help me to live my life for you. And maybe you're here and you'd say, God, I am with you, but I haven't been living. I haven't been living like it. Would you renew my life, my spirit, and help me to live in such a way that would honor you and bring your will into this world. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.